Getting published can help your business grow by showing potential clients that you are an expert in your field. When couples see that a photographer has been featured in their favorite wedding magazine or blog, they assume that they will be able to provide them with great images and a great service. It's sort of like social proof. The publication is providing a bit of validation on the fact that you are a great photographer, and that can help sway a couple's decision into hiring you for their wedding versus a photographer that may have not been published before.
Hey there, I'm Victoria Rayburn, a wedding photographer, small business owner, and marketing expert who doesn't believe work-life balance exists. I, probably like you, love both my family and my business, and for years I thought that if I worked hard and implemented enough self-help tips and tricks, every facet of my life and business would fall into place, leaving me feeling rested and satisfied. And, well, friend, that has yet to happen because life and business are demanding and every season brings new challenges. While I don't believe we can reach true work-life balance, I do believe there's power in determining your priorities, both in your personal life and in your business, and making choices and creating systems based around what's most important to you and what's going to lead to results. When it comes to your priorities in your personal life, I want to help you remember what's most important to you and show you how you can protect these priorities by setting boundaries and putting time on your calendar for what matters most. When it comes to your business, I want to help you determine what's already working well for you and help you implement proven marketing and business strategies. This way, you can prioritize the tactics that work, ditch the ones that don't, and feel confident in your ability to run your business, meet your goals, and serve your customers. Relationships, effective marketing strategies, setting boundaries, delegating, creating an incredible client experience, and keeping your priorities at the core of everything you do are exactly what you, experts, and I will be discussing every week. Now, whether you're walking your dog, you're driving to a shoot or job, or you're snuggled up on the couch with a glass of wine, get ready to grow, learn, and assess your priorities. You're listening to the Priority Pursuit Podcast. Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Priority Pursuit. I'm your host, Victoria Rayburn, and I am so excited for today's episode because my good friend, Jasmine Norris of Jasmine Norris Photography, is on the show to talk all about getting published as a photographer, and not only how to get published, but also how getting published can add to your client experience. Jasmine has been published more than 300 times. Having her photos, you know, all over the internet, all over wedding publications has like drastically helped her SEO. If you search for Lafayette, Indiana wedding photographers, you will definitely see her at the top of that list. And with more than a decade in our industry, she is just coming on the show today with so much wisdom and knowledge, and I cannot wait for you to hear from her. So, Jasmine, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm just so glad that you're here.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here, and thanks for having me on.
Okay, my dear, so before we dive into all things publications, would you mind just introducing yourself? Tell us all the things that people should know about you.
Sure. So hello, I'm Jasmine, and for over a decade, I've been providing my couples with romantic and joyful images that they will love and treasure for generations, all while helping them have a stress-free wedding photography experience. I'm also an award-winning and published photographer, and my work has been featured in over 300 different publications, including The Knot, Pop Sugar, Huffington Post, and more. When I'm not photographing amazing couples in love, you can usually find me curled up on the couch with my cats, Dior and Luna. And I also have a real addiction to Wanderlust, and you can find me traveling the world in my spare time. I want to try to visit all the places that I can before I die.
Yes, you are always traveling. And I mean, guys, I have to say too, like, I'm not usually a cat person, but Jasmine has two very, very cute cats, and Luna is more dog-like than cat-like. So I really love her cats. But anyway, okay, and then my dear, would you mind sharing what are your personal priorities and what kinds of boundaries do you set to protect them?
My top personal priorities are spending time with the people I love, fixing up my 130-year-old Victorian home, taking time for myself, and traveling. I'm a type A when it comes to planning, so I try to intentionally block off time in my calendar for personal things as well as business things. I will also limit how many weddings I take a year and how many sessions I do each week, so I will still have time for my personal priorities. And when everything is blocked off in my calendar, it's easy for me to see at a glance if I'm making things a top priority or not, so I can adjust accordingly.
Yeah. And guys, I have to just share that I used to think I was the most organized person that I knew. And then I met Jasmine, and she just puts me to shame. Like, everything is always done way ahead of schedule, and it's blocked out perfectly, and she's just so great at time management, and she's amazing. But And then also, what are your top three business priorities? In other words, what practices or tactics move the needle in your business most? And girl, I have to just tell you, I'm really excited for you to share your responses because, you know, with more than a decade of experience in our industry, I just feel like you have really honed your marketing and everything in, you know, just your business is thriving. And yeah, so I hope that guys, basically, as Jasmine is sharing these things, write them down because they really work. So Jasmine, what are your top three business priorities?
Customer service and referrals from past clients is my number one. I want to make sure that I'm serving my clients well throughout their whole process with me. Not only so they have a great experience and I really serve them well, but also so they will refer and share about me to potential future clients. And my website and blog are number two, with SEO being tied in there too. I always want to make sure my website and blog are up to date and working for me. And my SEO through my website and other places like publications are working in my favor and helping new clients find me and learn more about me and my business.
Yeah, no, you just like hit on so many good points. I mean, yeah, customer service, I think, you know, absolutely has to come first. And then, you know, your website is like by far, I mean, for anybody listening, like your website is your most powerful marketing tool, and you've done such a good job of making sure that it's getting in front of your ideal clients. And I mean, I just think that's a huge reason why, as you know, you've been able to like thrive in this industry for so long. Like I think I heard the other day, I want to say like the average like wedding photographer like stays in business for only 5 years, and you know, you've already doubled that. So you're amazing. Okay, so let's dive into getting published. And guys, Jasmine's absolutely going to share exactly how you can go about getting published. But before we talk about that, I think we need to talk about basically the why. Like, why is this important? So Jasmine, first of all, what does it mean to get published as a photographer? And then also, how can getting published help photographers' businesses grow?
So getting published can help your business grow by showing potential clients that you are an expert in your field. When couples see that a photographer has been featured in their favorite wedding magazine or blog, they assume that they will be able to provide them with great images and a great service. It's sort of like social proof. The publication is providing a bit of validation on the fact that you are a great photographer, and that can help sway a couple's decision into hiring you for their wedding versus a photographer that may have not been published before. Getting published can also help you connect with new potential clients, either by clients running across your feature on the publication, or through a share by a vendor, etc., who may have been part of the wedding and shared the publication. Getting published can also help your SEO because each publication will be linking your website, and Google will reward that and move you up those SEO rankings. Part of the reason why I rank on page one for my keywords is because I have so many different publications backlinking me, and Google likes that.
No, for sure. Google loves that. And I know like when you redid your website, you did a lot of SEO work. But a few years ago, I remember us talking about this. You essentially shared that because you've been published so many times without having done a lot of other SEO work, you know, your website was still on the first page of Google. And so guys, yeah, backlinks to your website are one of the most powerful things that you can do to improve your SEO. And as photographers, you know, we have this really unique opportunity that if you take the time to get published, you know, you can get a lot of backlinks to your website. And that's just something that a lot of other industries can't do as easily. So definitely want to take advantage. And then I think that kind of going back to your priorities, Jasmine, like knowing that that client experience is by far the most important thing in your business, can I ask, how does getting published like add to your client experience?
Getting published can help you end your client experience on an even better note than your client thought was possible. Hopefully at the end of a couple's experience with you as their wedding photographer, they love you and had a great experience. They loved working with you and loved the images from their engagement and wedding day. This is what we all want as photographers for our couples. Mm-hmm. But when you're able to get a couple's wedding featured, it can make them even more happy and into their experience on an even better note. It validates their choice in choosing you as their photographer because your images were obviously good enough to get published, and it makes them realize that they planned the perfect wedding that was good enough to be featured. And getting featured can also help strengthen vendor relationships too, because when your work gets published, so does the work of all the other vendors who were a part of the wedding day. Those vendors will love that they got featured and will love sharing the publication and your work as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, I'm so glad that, you know, I was able to learn all these tips and tricks for you, just because since, you know, making publications priority in my own business, it's been so cool to see how clients react to that and just how thrilled they are about that and, you know, how flattered vendors are. Like, it's just a really exciting thing. So obviously, getting published, super great for the client experience, super great for SEO. And so I'm sure everybody listening is thinking like, okay, yes, I'm on board. I 100% want to make getting published a priority. However, the next question is how? So Jasmine, like, how does one go about getting published?
So I would first start by going back through your work from the last year and pick weddings that you are proud of. Ones with gorgeous images, lots of details, and any with any unique elements. Write those down and base your first submissions off of those. Then go research some publications. Find ones that feature weddings that match the weddings you just wrote down and feature the type of photography style that you shoot. And then make sure the publications cater to the geographical area where the weddings actually took place. Write down a list of those publications. Now all you need to do is choose your favorite images from those weddings, write out a submission story, and list out all the vendors. Once you have those ready, you can submit those weddings you picked out to the publications that are on your list. And if you get denied, don't get discouraged. Just keep trying. It can take a few tries with a few different publications until you find the right fit for that wedding.
That's a beautiful, beautiful breakdown of the process. So with that in mind, are you using like a software or anything to submit your publications? Or are you like going to websites and like doing things manually? What does that look like for you?
So I primarily use the platform Two Bright Lights, which is a submission platform to submit my weddings, but I will also submit directly to publications as well for publications that aren't on the Two Bright Lights platform. So it really just kind of depends on the publication. But I do like Two Bright Lights because it makes it easy for me because I can just upload everything and submit to different publications without having to re-choose all the images, rewrite out the submission story and everything like that.
For sure. And guys, we will post a link to Two Bright Lights in the show notes in case anybody is interested. We're going to take a quick break because I can't help telling our photographer friends about something that saved me hours upon hours of work and given me freedom. Photographers, have you considered outsourcing your editing? Now, I know what you're going to say. I can't outsource my editing. An editor won't be able to match my style. But friend, I'm here to tell you that you're wrong. I've been working with Photographers Edit for years, and their team of experienced editors matched my editing style perfectly because, one, they took the time to get familiar with my preferences and brand. Two, they look at the sample edits I include in each Lightroom catalog. And three, they allow me to submit feedback after every project so that next time things are even better. Outsourcing my editing to Photographers Edit has drastically streamlined my workflow. I mean, after I shoot a wedding or session, I simply cull the images and mark the photos I want to blog using Photo Mechanic. Then I create a Lightroom catalog and only edit the photos I plan to blog and share on social media. I add a green label to the photos I edit, share the catalog with Photographers Edit, and they use the photos I mark in green as samples to finish editing the remaining images. From there, Photographers Edit sends the catalog back to me within a few days. I review the images, export them, and share my clients' galleries with them. Outsourcing my editing has given me the freedom to spend more time with Zach, go to bed at a reasonable time, better serve my clients, and work on projects I'm actually excited about, like this podcast. Right now, editing is likely taking up most of your time, but I can tell you from experience that it doesn't have to. To receive 50% off your first order from Photographers Edit, go to victoriarayburnphotography.com/PE or simply use code VRayburn at checkout. Again, that's victoriarayburnphotography.com/PE or use code VRayburn at checkout. And then, Jasmine, before we go any further, so I know that, like, as wedding photographers ourselves, like, we're very much wrapped up in the wedding industry and we're really thinking, you know, how we can get our images published as wedding photographers. But do these tips and tricks, like, do they apply to others? Can other photographers get published? Can other wedding vendors get published? Basically, like, if anybody's listening to this right now and they are not a wedding photographer, should they just tune the rest of this episode out? Or how can getting published, like, benefit them?
Yeah, no. So getting published can benefit any type of photographer. There are lots of publications out there that cater to all different sort of things. So if you are a maternity photographer, a family photographer, a newborn photographer, even like a landscape photographer or a real estate photographer, there are publications out there for you too. So all of these tips can kind of be tweaked a little bit to apply specifically to the type of photographer you are. And you can find those publications that will cater specifically to that type of photography as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. And then my just throw in here too for like wedding industry friends especially, but you know, like if you're a wedding planner and you planned a wedding that you are really proud of, you know, I would highly recommend like reaching out to that photographer and they might be willing to share images with you if they haven't already. But, you know, getting that wedding published would be beneficial for both of you. So if you want to check out Two Bright Lights or you want to do some research as just other, you know, publications out there where you think that wedding would be a good fit, like don't hesitate to start that conversation because it's super beneficial for everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jasmine, you broke down exactly how people can go about getting published. Again, we will post the link to Two Bright Lights in the show notes if anybody is interested in that. But Jasmine, if there is someone out there listening right now who has been striving to get published, but just like isn't having much luck, what are some things that they might be doing wrong?
So if you've tried submitting and aren't having luck, don't fret. I was in the same spot when I started submitting my weddings for publications. And there are a few things that you should check within your publication workflow. Most photographers who are having this issue are more than likely not doing one of the following things. And once they fix that, they get their work published. So the first thing is to make sure you are taking the time and researching the publications you are submitting to make sure your work and the wedding is a good fit. Make sure the publication features the type of wedding you are submitting, the photography style you shoot, and the geographical area where the wedding took place. It doesn't matter how gorgeous the wedding was or your photography was, if it doesn't match what they publish, you won't get featured. The second thing is to keep the seasons and holidays in mind. Editors fill up their publication calendars in advance and feature weddings that match the current season and holidays. If you send over a gorgeous fall wedding at the end of fall, they may already have their fall publication calendar booked and are looking for winter weddings. So try to send over your weddings that cater to a specific season or a holiday in advance so editors will have time to view your submission and get it on their calendar before it fills up. The third thing is to submit lots and lots of detail images. As photographers, we tend to love our couple portraits from wedding days. These are the images we use on our website and social media to showcase our work and help us book clients. However, publications exist because they are a source of inspiration for couples who are actively planning their wedding. They want to show lots of detail images from weddings so their readers can gather information on what to do for their own wedding. Make sure you are sending over lots and lots of detail images, from the ceremony and reception decor, to the florals, to the invitations, and everything else. The number one mistake I see photographers do when they start submitting is that they send over a majority of couple portraits instead of detail photos. Make sure your image selection is detail heavy for the best results. And the fourth thing is to make sure you write a compelling submission story. You don't want to just send over pretty photos and leave it at that. You will need to write a compelling submission story, something that talks about the couple's love story, their wedding details, and really just the details in a way that editors don't understand by just looking at the images. This will help your chances of getting published, not only because editors can get a better feel for the couple and the wedding, but also because they can use some of what you wrote in the publication copy and won't have to do so much work coming up with something to write. The easier you can make it on the publication's editor, who is like us and is probably wearing a ton of hats and doing all of the things, the more likely you will be to get published.
Those are all such good tips, and you know, I really like appreciate you breaking down, you know, why it's important to include those detail photos, because I think you're absolutely right. Like, as wedding photographers, you know, it's like we are wedding photographers because we kind of like love. Like, that sounds really corny, but like for most wedding photographers, those couple portraits are the highlight of the day. That's what you tend to be most proud of. And so like, yeah, from an emotional standpoint, it's easy to submit those photos thinking like these are the best of the best. So Jasmine, you did, if you don't mind, just quick question, because I know what your answer is going to be, but I think it'll be really beneficial for other people here. But you said, you know, like, it's really important to submit like lots of details, but what are parts of a wedding day that you should just avoid submitting? Because that's not typically what a publication is looking for.
So parts of the day that you can avoid submitting are family portraits for the most part. That's not really something that sparks a lot of inspiration for couples that are planning their weddings. So you can avoid those. You can avoid like food photos for the most part, except like the cake and desserts and that sort of thing. And you can also avoid sending photos of like the guests dancing on the dance floor, the wedding party dancing on the dance floor. That's not really something they want to see. They want to see the couple at the reception. Mm-hmm. So you can just cater it to the details and images of like the couple at the reception doing things.
No, that absolutely, absolutely makes sense. And then also out of curiosity, is there like a rule of thumb as to how many images you should submit? Is there a good goal to go for?
Yeah, so editors like to see a good variety of images and a good variety of portrait and horizontal images so they can pair things to look appealing for their blog or their magazine. So you want to make sure you have a good mix of that. And then overall, you want to send over around 100 to 150 images from a wedding day because that really gives the editors a good representation of the wedding from start to finish. And it also gives them options so they can pare down and choose exactly what would work best for their publication.
For sure. And then, sorry to go back, like, you had so much great stuff to share. And just in case anybody else has these questions, because I know you obviously, like, you also write a blog. So out of curiosity, between your, like, submission, like, when you're filling out the submission form or submission information, how closely does that parallel your blog?
Parallels it pretty close because I only want to do one thing once and I can use that same thing for multiple things. So it's definitely pretty close. My blog may be more couple portrait heavy than like my submission would be because obviously I want to show a lot of those couple portraits on my blog. But otherwise it's pretty much very similar.
Yeah. And then like out of curiosity too, like the details that you include like in the actual copy, or do you just copy and paste that text to make your life a little easier, or how does that part
work? I pretty
much
copy and paste over what I write in my blog for the submission story. I do have a questionnaire I send my couples that asks them a little bit about the wedding in their own voice, and I will copy and paste that over to the editors as well, just so they can use like a quote from the bride or groom within the submission if they need to. But as far as the blog goes, it's really the copies copy and pasted for the most part for the submission story.
Yeah, and I mean, I just think that's so important for people to keep in mind because I think that a lot of people are blogging, but they might not necessarily be submitting to publication. But, you know, if you're already blogging, like, and you already, you know, have the list of vendors, if you're including those on your blog, at this point, like, you just need to submit it to somebody. Basically, all the work is done. Okay, so speaking of the work portion of things, how does submitting weddings for publication fit into your workflow?
So I build submitting weddings right into my workflow for each of my clients. Once the wedding is edited, the blog post is posted, and the gallery is delivered, I submit each and every wedding to publications. I know I already talked about this, but since I blog every wedding, I'm already choosing my favorite images for the highlight blog post, and I'm already writing a compelling story about the wedding. So I can just turn around and use that same story and those same images for my submissions, so it makes it super easy. This is also something you can easily hand off to an intern, an office manager, a social media manager, or even your kids or your spouse. They can easily learn how to submit your weddings and take that off your plate. And I know I mentioned Two Bright Lights before, but that is my submission platform of choice. Mm-hmm. They allow me to make a submission and submit it to multiple publications, so it makes it really easy for me. And then if I get denied, I can just hit the resubmit button and submit to another publication without having to re-upload my images, re-tag the vendors, and write out my submission story again. And then after my wedding gets published and featured, what I do last is I send that link to my couples in an email, you know, telling them to pop some champagne. Their wedding got featured. I send them a link so it doesn't get lost, or, you know, they don't have to just randomly run across it online. I want to send that directly to them. So I send that to them, and I also send it to the vendors as well. That way they know that their work got featured on a publication as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I think that taking the time to do that, to let couples know and to let vendors know, it's just such an easy thing to do to get them excited. And I mean, I think it's really cool too. You know, I feel like I've had a lot of instances where it's like I shoot a wedding and, you know, maybe like just due to the seasons or whatever, it doesn't get published for another year, but it's like such a good way to like stay top of mind and like a huge compliment to couples too. I mean, and I know that you do this because I've like seen the template that you send over when you let clients know that, hey, you've been published, but like making them like the hero of this situation, like letting them know, because like you do such an amazing job of letting couples know, like, hey, like, you planned such an awesome wedding that it, like, was deserving of being published. And I mean, it just tickles them so much and just such a great way to add the client experience. And yeah, stay top of mind even, you know, after the wedding day is all said and done.
Yes, yes. And that can also help you get more referrals and people reaching out to you too, because mm-hmm. they probably have more friends and family that are now engaged that are thinking about photographers. Yeah. And even the vendors that would reshare that publication, they mm-hmm. have, you know, newly engaged couples that are following them now. So you can get yourself out in front of new people that way as well.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, yeah, just like staying top of mind, even like for guests, you know, like if you shot that wedding a year before, maybe a guest there, like she noticed like how great Jasmine was, but she was not currently engaged and now she is. And so she gets this nice little reminder of like, oh, I really liked her, but she hasn't thought about Jasmine in a while because she wasn't planning a wedding.
Whether you're a photographer, interior designer, hairstylist, or another kind of creative entrepreneur, chances are you're on your feet a lot and need comfortable but professional looking shoes. This is exactly why I love Rothy's and wear them to almost every wedding and session. Created from recycled water bottles and other sustainable materials, Rothy's has created flats, loafers, and other adorable shoe designs that don't rub. When a photographer friend told me Rothy's don't cause blisters, I didn't believe her. But I've now worn Rothy's for more than 50 10-hour wedding days, and I can tell you they truly don't rub and are the most comfortable shoes I've ever owned. Plus, Rothy's are machine washable, so after a hot outdoor wedding, I throw them in the wash and let them air dry. Then they're ready to go again in time for my next wedding or shoot. Now, Rothy's are on the pricey side, but after years of wearing them, I can verify they're 100% worth it. To receive 20% off your first pair of Rothy's, visit victoriarayburnphotography.com/Rothy's. Again, visit victoriarayburnphotography.com/Rothy's to get $20 off your new favorite pair of shoes.
Yeah, so great way to stay top of mind and to build more business. So that's awesome. I do think, though, Jasmine, just because it's like it's so impressive to me, like, you know, you get so much done in a week's time. This is not on our question list. But would you mind just sharing people like what your whole workflow looks like? I mean, an abbreviated version, but what your workflow looks like the week after a wedding, because it is still just mind blowing to me. The fact that you like, I'm going to let you explain, like, because I won't do it justice.
So because I am type A, I don't like having multiple weddings in queue. I want to have a wedding done before my next wedding comes because it just freaks me out if I have multiple things on the back burner. So after a wedding, if it's a Saturday wedding, the Sunday I block out the whole day and I pretty much work on editing from like 7 a.m. to like 8 p.m. And that's what I do all day on Sunday. And then on Monday, I kind of do the same thing and finish that up. That way I pretty much have most of the editing done by Monday. And then for Tuesday, I submit the blog post. And then that's when I do all the back end stuff after the blog post is getting things ready for publication, getting like the USB ready, the gallery uploaded for my couples, ordering their like thank you gifts, that sort of thing. Everything like that happens on Wednesday and Thursday. And then hopefully I'm done on Thursday and I can take Friday off and be ready for Saturday's wedding again.
Yeah, no, it's crazy impressive to me. And like, you don't even outsource your editing. Like, you get it all done. And I still don't 100% understand, but you're impressive to me. And I just thought other people needed to hear that. Everybody's workflow looks different. And I think yours looks great. It's not how I'm operating right now. and then kind of speaking of that workflow, and I know that like you are just a really efficient person. And so you're able to get all of this stuff submitted. But in case anybody, you know, out there like me is not quite as efficient as Jasmine, and you touched on this before, but having like a VA or, you know, just somebody who is a quick learner who can be in charge of submitting your stuff for publication can be a huge game changer. So Emma, my VA, she personally submits all of my stuff for publication just because, and I mean, I remember I was probably 3 years ago now, but I told Jasmine that like, I just kind of submit everything during slow season. That's when I have time to do it. And so I'm like, yep, I'm submitting 20 weddings for publication this week, which is like, one, it's not something that I have to be doing. And two, like waiting until slow season to do all of that, which is not the worst idea, but you know, like you were talking about seasonality earlier, it's just going to put a huge damper on things. And, you know, if you're submitting weddings that you shot in April, like during December, because that's when the downtime is, it's already a little bit old. So yeah, if you are not as efficient as Jasmine, which I am not, please know that you can absolutely outsource this to somebody else. And I mean, my workflow at this point, like, we get things done about as quickly as Jasmine does, but that is largely because, like, Emma is also helping, like, get the blog physically on the website, and she's the one submitting stuff for publication. So anyway, side note, moving on, not everybody can be as efficient as Jasmine. But, all right, my dear, so, okay, you obviously, like, you tell your couples that things have been published, you let vendors know that things have been published, but then from there, how do you, like, highlight your publications and then, like, talk about them without being, like, super braggy? Because I think that you've done, like, such a great job of, like, sharing with people that, yes, you are a published wedding photographer, but you don't make it sound, like, posh and all about you. So, yeah, how can people highlight their publications without being a jerk?
So first I want to say, don't be afraid to share your publications and brag a bit. If you don't share that you've been published, most of your clients and future clients won't know. They may naturally run across a publication, but most won't. So be sure to maximize your publication and its marketing value and share away. If bragging about your publication and sharing it makes you feel a bit weird, or you don't want to be constantly sharing and being like, "Ooh, I was featured, my work was featured," turn it around and put the focus on your couples and the other vendors who were a part of the wedding. So say something like, "Share with me in celebrating X and X because their wedding was just featured on X." Or, "The vendors who were a part of this wedding day were amazing and their work was out of this world. Let's pop some champagne to celebrate these vendors because their hard work helped us get X and X weddings featured on X." This way you're putting the focus more on the couples and vendors versus on yourself, but you're still sharing that you were featured and published as well.
For sure. And then out of curiosity, after you find out that you haven't published, you're obviously sharing with couples and vendors, but do you share that on social media as well? And I know that you also, you know, you do your social media out a month in advance. So are you looking at the dates that things are supposed to be published so that way you can include that in your content calendar? Or yeah, how does that part work?
So I kind of just add it in addition to my content calendar. So I do share a link to the feature on Facebook. I have like a publication gallery on Facebook that I'll throw an image in with the link as well. I have a press page on my website where I'll put some of the badges and links to some recent publications. And I also will put it sometimes in Insta stories and things like that about the publication. So I am sharing about it personally as well on my pages.
Yeah. And I mean, like you said, you know, people, chances are they're not going to know about your publication unless you do take the time to share it. And yeah, social media and your website are just such great ways to do that. And I love that approach that you take, you know, making sure like the client and the vendors kind of stay the hero of these posts and of these announcements. It's not like, "I did a great job shooting this wedding and it got published, so it proves it." But no, that's such a good balance. Well, Jasmine, you have shared so much great information today. Like, clearly, getting published comes with so many benefits, you know, from the client experience perspective, from the SEO perspective, and then also, like, getting published, like, when you break it down like you did, it's one of those things that, like, it's really not difficult. Like, I think, like, people think it is. It's just something that you have to make sure that you prioritize and make part of your workflow, but as we can see from your business, it is 100% worth it. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. And before we get off of here, I think it might be nice, Jasmine, if it's okay with you, for us to share a little bit about the In Focus Marketing Summit. So a couple of years ago, guys, Jasmine and I know each other so well because we actually partnered together to host a marketing workshop for photographers. So this is a 3-day workshop where we dive deep into ideal client identification, SEO, getting published, what exactly should be on your website, how to plan a month's worth of social media at a time, and just all things marketing. So if you are interested in hearing more from Jasmine, I would highly recommend visiting InFocusMarketingSummit.com. I'll put the link in the show notes as well, but you can register for the waitlist there. And if you register for that waitlist, you'll be the first to know when we announce new dates, and you can come hang out with us for a few days. And we both really like to eat, so the food is always really good, and it's just a grand time. But Jasmine, thank you so much for coming on the show. I cannot wait for people to start getting published? And then, my dear, before we officially wrap up, where can people find you online?
Yeah, so you can find me on my website, jasminenorris.com, on Facebook at Jasmine Norris Photography, and on Instagram at jasmine.norris.
Awesome. Guys, be sure to give her a follow. And if anybody uses Jasmine's tips and tricks and finds themselves, you know, getting published, please shoot us both a DM. We would love to celebrate with
you. Yes.
Thanks for tuning in to the Priority Pursuit Podcast. For access to all the links and resources mentioned in this episode, check out the show notes or go to PriorityPursuit.com. To ask questions, share your wins, and connect with other priority-focused creative entrepreneurs, join the Priority Pursuit Podcast community on Facebook. Or don't hesitate to shoot me a DM on Instagram. You can find me at Victoria L. Rayburn. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to subscribe and leave a review. This will help get Priority Pursuit in front of other creative entrepreneurs wanting to lead priority-focused lives. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm already looking forward to chatting with you again next week.